The provost paced his office, fighting the temptation to pour himself another scotch, forcing himself to face this growing crisis head on. Never in his career had he betrayed a client or failed to keep an agreement, and he most certainly had no intention of starting now. At the same time, he suspected that he might have gotten himself tangled up in a scenario whose purpose diverged from what he had originally imagined. 1 year ago, the famous geneticist Bertrand Zobrist had come aboard the Mendacium and requested a safe haven in which to work. At that time, the provost imagined that Zobrist was planning to develop a secret medical procedure whose patenting would increase Zobrist's vast fortune. It would not be the first time the consortium had been hired by paranoid scientists and engineers who preferred working in extreme isolation to prevent their valuable ideas from being stolen. With that in mind, the provost accepted the client and was not surprised when he learned that the people at the World Health Organization had begun searching for him. Nor did he give it a second thought when the director of the WHO herself, Dr. Elizabeth Sinsky, seemed to make it her personal mission to locate their client. The consortium has always faced powerful adversaries. As agreed, the consortium carried out their agreement with Zobrist, no questions asked, thwarting Sinsky's efforts to find him for the entire length of the scientist's contract. Almost the entire length. Less than a week before the contract was to expire, Sinsky had somehow located Zobrist in Florence and moved in, harassing and chasing him until he committed suicide. For the first time in his career, the provost had failed to provide the protection he had agreed to, and it haunted him, along with the bizarre circumstances of Zobrist's death. He committed suicide rather than being captured? What the hell was Zobrist protecting? In the aftermath of his death, Sinsky had confiscated an item from Zobrist's safe deposit box, and now the consortium was locked in a head-to-head battle with Sinsky in Florence, a high-stakes treasure hunt to find... To find what? The provost felt himself glance instinctively toward the bookshelf and the heavy tome given to him 2 weeks ago by the wild-eyed Zobrist. The Divine Comedy. The provost retrieved the book and carried it back to his desk, where he dropped it with a heavy thud. With unsteady fingers, he opened the cover to the first page and again read the inscription. My dear friend, thank you for helping me find the path. The world thanks you, too. First off, the provost thought, you and I were never friends. He read the inscription 3 more times. Then he turned his eyes to the bright red circle his client had scrawled on his calendar, highlighting tomorrow's date. The world thanks you? He turned and gazed out at the horizon a long moment. In the silence, he thought about the video and heard the voice of facilitator Knowlton from his earlier phone call. I thought you might want to preview it before upload. The content is quite disturbing. The call still puzzled the provost. Knowlton was one of his best facilitators, and making such a request was entirely out of character. He knew better than to suggest an override of the compartmentalization protocol. After replacing the Divine Comedy on the shelf, the provost walked to the scotch bottle and poured himself half a glass. He had a very difficult decision to make.